Father, I just thank you for this awesome, wonderful bunch of people that we love so dearly. And God, thank you for the word that you've placed on our heart and for the series that we're doing meant to be. And God, for every person here, that they would know above all that they are so loved by God, by the Holy Spirit, by our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You know, I want to just start off by talking about Impressionist painting. I don't know if you're aware, but there were a bunch of painters back in the early 19th century, and they painted these amazing paintings, and you hear names like Renoir and Degas and Monet and all these different painters that painted these incredible paintings. They were called Impressionist paintings because they used kind of bulky strokes. It wasn't like they were doing really detailed. It wasn't like they were doing some of the old masters that it looked like a photograph. You'd look at it and say it was like, you know, you might have had a seeing problem or something like that, because these paintings were impressions of what they saw, and they were called the Impressionists. After them, and alive at the same time, was a painter by the name of Vincent van Gogh. And even took it to another level where he just used big fat strokes of paint, big blobs of paint. Today, you could go anywhere in the world where there is a Van Gogh painting, for example, and look at it and go, wow, it's amazing, the colour, the brilliance, how good it is. But you're not looking at a photograph, yeah? You're not looking at a photograph, and you know you're looking at a painting, and you know it's incredibly valuable. I mean, they sell for $50, $60, $70 million for one of these Van Gogh paintings. And the point that I'm making right now is that our relationships, marriage, partners, people that are in relationship, you'd think that it would be perfect. The series is called Meant to Be. You say, well, we're just meant to be. And thinking about what does it look like to have a perfect relationship? Well, let me tell you that a relationship and our romantic relationships and our connection on that level is more like a painting. It's less than being perfect, and I think about Karen and I, and in my mind, our marriage is perfect. But the reality is, it's just a complex combination of blobs of paint, and the value is placed upon it by those that observe. We observe our own marriage and we realize it's different from every other painting. It's not perfect, yet it's really, really valuable.
Are you the blob? Just saying. Do we have a picture of it?
No, we don't know.
Oh, we don't have the painting.
I was going to put up Starry, Starry Night. Does everyone know that one? Everyone close your eyes. Can you see it? Those big swirls. Okay, good. We don't need an overhead projector.
Okay, it's my turn. We're actually it's quite hard doing a message together, and it's been an interesting process preparing a message together. And if anyone saw the little Facebook page, you'll see that Joshua prepares with bubbles. I prepare with notes. So, yeah, so that just shows how different we are. But today, as part of our series Meant to Be, we're speaking on intimacy and sexuality. And of course, you can see that Josh and I are married, and we've been married for 32 years. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome. And it's not perfect, and it is a painting. We're a work in progress, but it's the most wonderful thing to be part of and to be in, is to be in this long-term relationship, committed relationship. And it's interesting, as you know, we've been on sabbatical for a couple of months, and while we're away, we didn't have a holiday, we built a house, renovated a house. And in the midst of that, we had an electrician come in. And he's sort of like on the periphery of church. He was been in and out. His family were part of church. And we had some amazing conversations with this guy. Anyway, after we paid our bill at the end, he sent us an email. It's just a little short one because he's a guy. And he says, really enjoyed meeting you guys. You're an inspirational, loved up, married Christian couple. Awesome. And that was just from a guy coming in to our house, you know, working on the project. And he was obviously observing us in our interaction and our banter and our working together, and he saw something of God in our marriage, and you know, it was enough for him to actually write us an email. And I thought, we, you know, as a marriage, we're a witness to God. Our marriage is a witness to Jesus Christ working in our lives.
Well, I actually think that's actually true of our relationships. And, you know, Warwick, the electrician, he was observing the painting and seeing it as something that was valuable. He liked what he saw. He liked the painting. He wrote that email. But, you know, last Sunday, to start off the series on Meant to Be, I really felt that it was important just to hit on some of the, or one of the basic things that happen in our relationships as Christians. So as Christians, we are connecting with people all the time. And as Christians, we're connecting with our partners and our the ones that we love. And remember, I don't know if you recall, you may not have been here, there are four kinds of love that we know out of the New Testament. The Greek language had four words that related to love. There was parental love, there was friendship love, there was sacrificial love, and then there was erotic love, or romantic love, if you like. And we get our word eros, gives us our word erotic love. And we're kind of talking about that kind of intimate love. But last week, you know, it was a case of saying, but wait a minute, Jesus is saying we fulfill the commandment to love each other if we are friends. And friends don't criticize each other. Friends find ways to creatively and truthfully make positive input to each other's life. Well, that's true of Christians. That's what we do. But it's also true of a relationship. And I think that Warwick, he was seeing in us not so much that we were all over each other as we were doing our, you know, we weren't trying to be overly romantic. What he was seeing a man and woman that were friends. We were good friends. And in that environment, he perceived that as being...
We were then.
we are good friends. He perceived that as being Christian. He perceived our marriage, the painting of our lives, as being
the
Christian.
The only thing is he hasn't actually seen us driving. And it, like, really concerns me because, you know, I don't know about anyone else in this room, but we've got a brand new car and it has a GPS, and the woman on there is my friend. Because when we get to, it actually knows when we hit the speed limit. And when the, like, 100 shows up, it has a little voice saying, you know, you are over the limit. And I'm like, yes, I have support.
Yeah, I had to turn that feature off because now I had two voices saying, you're going over the limit. It was like there were two chicks in the car having a conversation and I was the subject.
She's my friend. So, like here today, there are, like, many different kinds of relationships, like, sitting here with us. So there are some of you are single, and that's really good as well, by the way, singleness. Some of you are in sexual relationships. Some of you are married, some of you have been married and are now single. You know, there's a whole range of different relationships sitting right here. And this is not a series to tell you what you should and should not do, but it's really to bring you God's view on sex and intimacy. So we just want to really lay that platform out right from the beginning. So we're going to bring you God's view. The world has a view on sexuality. We hear it all the time, we see it all the time, and that has become muddied. But God's view is very clear, and it's defined, and he's actually given us his handbook, the Bible, to get his view. So today, you know, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh, I don't like that, what that's been said, just know that we're actually just bringing God's view. And if you have any questions, or you've got, you know, you're struggling with something that we're presenting today, please come up and see us afterwards and talk about it. Don't go away and go, because we're just bringing you God's view today.
So, you know, I know that today, in this day and age, you know, the gay relationship is a big thing. We're not talking about that today. We're specifically talking about relationships between men and women. And, you know, that's a discussion for a different time. And so hopefully you just understand we're talking about that intimacy on that level.
Is that good? Yep. Awesome. Is it my turn or your turn?
It's still your turn. You can keep going.
Oh, good. Okay. I'm really excited about this part of the message because when I was praying, I was saying, God, what is your word that you really want to bring? And he dropped a verse in my heart, and I looked it up, and it was Psalm 103, verse 7, and it says, God revealed, wow, at least I've got power. I think, you know, maybe all the lights are going off just to, you know.
It makes it kind of more sort of like,
intimate.
You know, yeah. Next, that sort of kind of raunchy music will start up quietly in the background. It gets all kind of weird.
So Psalm 103, verse 7 says, God revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. I'm like, God, really? You gave me that verse for sex and intimacy? And anyway, I kept on reading it over and over, and the Holy Spirit began to show me what this actually meant. Moses wanted to know God. He wanted to be intimate with God. So God revealed his character. We're going to have these lights going on and off. It's going to be funny. God actually revealed who he was to Moses. But he revealed his deeds to the people of Israel. The people of Israel were just after the wrapping. You know, you get a gift and there's this beautiful wrapping on the outside and the bow and it's just so lovely. And really, the people of Israel, they were getting the wrapping of God because they were getting the things that God was displaying. They were getting his, you know, the feel-good stuff, the tasty food that was falling out of heaven. They were getting the miracles and they were getting the you know, the fiery thing that they were following. And it was all really cool for them. It was the feel-good stuff for them. And they even got clothes that never wore out. So they were getting the wrapping. God only revealed that to them. They were after the fleshy gratification, and that's what they got. But Moses was granted a deep and lasting friendship. He had an intimacy with God, and God revealed who he was. He revealed his character to Moses. The problem with just going after the wrapping is we don't really know what's underneath. That's good and bad, by the way. You know, the character of that person. So if our relationship has the wrapping as its foundation, it might become unraveled as the character is revealed. So, you know, if the wrapping is the sexual excitement and the passion, and that's all good, by the way. It's not wrong. But if that is what our relationship is based on, then it doesn't last. I think that, you know, like even when you get married, the fun feeling, you know, the excitement feeling, I think that runs out after about 18 months. That'd be right, honey. Maybe ours lasted longer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Some people it runs in 12 months, but we had a two-year stint.
So long ago, I can't remember. It's like a blur, you know, in the past. But I read a story today, and it's in 2 Samuel 13. I'm not going to read it, but I'm giving you the reference so that you can read it for yourself. It's the story of Tamar and Amnon. Tamar was the daughter of King David, and Amnon was the son of King David, but he was from another wife. Anyway, Amnon really, really was turned on by Tamar. I don't know if you use that term now, but, you know, it's from my era, so I can use it. And, like, you know, he thought she was pretty hot. Apparently she was beautiful and incredible and, you know, nice figure and lovely. And so he wanted her very, very much. And he devised a plan to get her and entice her into his room, pretending he was sick and she was going to cook for him and that sort of thing. So she cooked his favourite dish. Beware, girls, if they ask you for the favourite dish. Anyway, he comes on to her and she says, don't do this. Don't do this. This is not right. This is a really bad thing that you're doing. Ask my father for my hand in marriage. Ask him if we can get married. But he is so burned up with passion and he's so desirous of her that he forces himself upon her and rapes her. And then he discards her. And, you know, that the wrapping became unraveled in that relationship. And it could have been something a lot better than that. But that's what sexual passion can do if it's not in the right context. So sometimes, you know, we're trying to find the right person and, I'm not going to talk on that. I've gone ahead. It's Josh's turn.
So just want to touch on that. Something that Karen said is that sex is good.
Does anyone have an amen to that?
Sex is good.
All of those who are married.
This is a hard audience. Sex is good. Amen.
Thank you, Richard.
Somebody who knows. Okay, so sex is good. But what Karen's really describing there is that, and I really loved what, Kevin, what you brought out this morning, because you're touching on that there's a more holistic approach to reaching people with the gospel, and you talked about reaching to the inner person. And intimacy is kind of like that. Intimacy is, it is sexual. Intimacy is sexual. And in the world today, we think about the sexual component of intimacy. That's what's put out there as being the high note, being the big thing, being the major get, being the success story, that intimacy and sex are one thing. But really, intimacy is so much more than that. It wouldn't be hard to convince you that intimacy is emotional, intellectual. It has to do with being on a level of intimacy with a person that is meaningful, and that there's a relationship which is not just based upon sexual or physical gratification. But intimacy is also spiritual. Intimacy is also spiritual. I love the verse where Paul is he's saying to the people at Corinth, and he spoke a lot about sex to the people at Corinth. There are reasons to do with the history behind that city in Greece. But when he was writing, he also said, look, don't go with a prostitute. He's giving practical advice. Don't go with a prostitute. And then he says a remarkable thing. He says, don't you know that when you do that, you become one with that person? So what he's saying is that the intimacy that happens on a physical level spills over and affects the emotional and the spiritual level. You can't disengage these things. There's been some movies come out, Friends with Benefits, and kind of that sort of idea. It's saying that let's just be friends and let's, you know, go for a coffee, let's go for a drive, let's have sex. It's nothing really intimate. It's nothing serious. We just want to have a sexual encounter to satisfy our sexual need. Trying to separate into compartments these things. But listen, it doesn't. The Bible is clear in talking about what Karen said, what is God's view? God is saying these things cannot be separated. You cannot have physical intimacy and not have the others. And if you try to separate them, you break. You become broken. It was never meant to be. God didn't want us to be like that. He wanted us to be whole in that regard.
Just on that spiritual intimacy, when Josh and I first started courting, does everyone know that word? Courting? Yeah. Courting. It's the thing that you do, like, before you get married.
As opposed to dating. Dating, courting. Oh, you work it out.
Anyway, we decided, you know, no sex before marriage. So, clothes on. I feel like I'm talking to teenagers. But, you know, you keep, if you're alone together, keep yourself safe in that arena. You know, we always had clothes between flesh, apart from our hands and our lips. Okay, I won't go too far because I know I'm going to gross Hope out. So, but what was very cool is that we would spend a lot of time together just talking and praying together. So we developed a spiritual intimacy of hearing from God. And it became a real adventure in our walk with God. Is like we were actually hearing from God together. It was very exciting. And, we'd sit at night. Josh, I can't remember this, but at his mum's place, like sometime like till 3 in the morning. I don't know how I stayed up that long. But anyway, till 3 in the morning, just, you know, touching our hands together and talking. I mean, it was intimate. And we didn't have to go the whole way. We wanted to. I'm not saying we didn't want to, but that was a way of we were getting to know one another and be intimate in the, on a spiritual level.
Now, the thing with that is it sounds kind of corny. You think, oh, you know, can you really be spiritual? But you are. You're spiritually intimate. There's that spiritual intimacy as you connect and you're praying together and you're really developing your relationship on that level. It's more than just the fact that we have a spiritual awareness together. You see, we actually have a spiritual intimacy with God as well. That our intimacy with God is developing in unison together. Now, what we're describing is an ideal, a way that God wants it to be for us. But some of us will be sitting and thinking, oh, but, you know, I've done this, I've been here, I've done that, I didn't do it that way. How can I go forward? How can it work for me? You know, what should I do? I heard Stephen Furtick just talking recently about finding the right person and waiting for the right person, and he talked about Boaz. And Boaz was a fellow in the Old Testament. You find him in the book of Ruth. Ruth was a woman that had been all through all sorts of kind of a big deal. She'd been through some major drama. She'd gone back to her home nation, and things had come unstuck. She wasn't in a relationship that had finished. But there was somebody for her, Boaz, her guy on the white horse, if you like, the perfect guy. That fellow, his name was Boaz, and she waited for him. And in that kind of that spiritual arena and physical arena, she found the right person. But here's the thought. Sometimes we're so keen to get our Boaz that we end up with one of his cousins. We end up with dumbass. We end up with drunk as. We end up with cheating as or lying as. Sometimes we even end up with beat you as. And listen, you've got to be really careful that you look after you as. And wait for Boaz. And I just thought it's a great thought. But there's, you know, but there's tension there. Because we are spiritual, physical, and part of our physical is the sexual drive. And it's so strong, and it's in this world. And you think, far out, the Bible says, if you're burning with desire, get married. Great advice, Paul, right there in chapter 7 of Corinthians. If you're burning with desire, get married. What are we going to do? Go outside and get a husband or a wife off the husband tree? Oh, I'll get married. I'll go and get a husband. It's just not that simple. And so how do we find this tension? How do we make sense of this tension between let's just get married and let's keep ourselves and kind of like in between? I mean, I'm single. And all the pressure and all the information that's coming from the world constantly is calling us to be something other, something different.
Mm. Yeah, like, you know, sometimes we're trying to find the right person, but in fact God is allowing to, you know, he's wanting to grow us into the right person. And you're like, you know, sometimes we have a list, you know, I want him to be, you know, da-da-da and such, and have nice abs and be on the worship, to be a worship leader and be, have all these, I don't know, we have a list of things, but God is developing our character and he will bring you to that right person. Singleness is really awesome. It's a good place to be. I can say that now I'm married, but it is a good place if you're pursuing God and allowing your passion to be, you know, really consumed with following God.
Well, can I speak to that? Because what we're doing is we're looking for the right person, but really God is asking us to be the right person. Come on. Well, we're looking for the right person, but God is asking us to be the right person. And so he's more interested in what's happening within us and the changes that are taking place in our world. And yeah, I think that's. I just wanted to read a verse.
Can I just talk about when we met? Do you want to do that?
No, you talk about when we met. I know this is going to be embarrassing.
No, it's not. It's like, because when Josh and I met, I thought, well, actually, I didn't really like him at first because he was real loud. Like in Bible college, he was the loud one and he sung really loud. And Bev knows what I'm talking about. And you know, he was just like kind of loud, and I remember in our little room, because we shared a room with three girls, and we'd like talk about the guys, and we talk about God as well, but you know, talk about the guys, And one of the girls goes, what do you think of Joshua? And I go, oh, he's so obnoxious. And he's really loud. And you know.
I didn't even know what that word means.
And but kind of I was a little bit, I know, intrigued by him. And as we got to know each other. And then I thought, oh, he's actually kind of cute. And he's funny. And then, you know, I found that there were other things that he had in his character, like he was really kind and very patient and he loved his family. And I found out there were lots of other things, because what we can do is, you know, that physical attraction, because, I mean, to be honest, sometimes we would go to places and I'd be sitting next to him in the car and I would be like, this guy is hot. This is feeling pretty good. I like sitting next to him. I never said anything to him, of course, because like I was, you know, the Christian girl at Bible college, and I didn't know that he really liked me as well. So there was a physical thing going on, but you know how we have dessert, and we get, you know, like a, for those who eat dessert, like we'll have an ice cream cone, and we have the ice cream, and then we have the little chocolate sprinkles. I never have those, but I know some of you do have the little chocolate sprinkles. Well, sex is like the chocolate sprinkles, and unless you really have tasted of the ice cream and the cone and really know what's underneath, because you'll find out what's underneath when you've eaten the sprinkles. And if it's not a really nice flavour under there, you've got some big trouble happening. So I kind of, you know, I found out that you know, the ice cream was actually okay.
I love,
you know,
that.
So I haven't finished. And so, but that physical attraction was just the wrapping. And now I look at him, and the wrapping is all gone. So.
It's doing my head in.
What's left? Anyway, you can go now.
Okay, so it says in 1 Corinthians, it says this. For now, in matters that you wrote about, because obviously they were asking Paul for advice, it's good for a man not to marry. Say what? This is Paul. He's saying it's good for a person not to marry. This is a man, but it's talking about a person. But since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman have her own husband. And he goes on. And so what Paul is saying, you see, Paul was single. Paul was a successful single. As far as we know, he never got married. And so there was something happening in his world so that he could actually navigate through the pressures of sexual desire and drive and the sprinkling on top, that he could still be successful. If you're single here today, you can be a successful single. Doesn't matter, you're always going to be single, but it's not some sort of life sentence. Paul was an example of that. A modern example, he's passed away now, but a more recent example is C.S. Lewis. An incredible man, full of the Holy Spirit, moving by the power of God. As far as literature is concerned and communication, he was amazing and had a really influential life. Late in life, he got married. I think he might have been 60. I mean, he was old. He was an older person by this stage. He married a younger woman. She was in her 40s. Their marriage only lasted 4 years and she passed away. Very sad. But he recounted afterwards how incredible his relationship with her was and how fulfilling. After having a life of doing many things that most of us would aspire to, success and fame and so, he realized that this was a component of his life that was so, so valuable. He was a successful single, but he was also really successful married. And you know, you'd look at his life and you say, wow, that was different. It's just a different painting. Not perfect, no relationship is. But every relationship is a painting. Every relationship is the strokes of what you do in your life. It's good.
Oh, were you going to fill that out a bit? Or
what is it that I've missed that you're thinking about?
Well, I mean, this is pretty strong because it's saying that it is good for a man not to marry, but since there's so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. And it's interesting that, you know, God is saying here, sex is in the right place, it's in marriage. That's where, you know, that's where we have it, is in marriage. And the world's view is you have it with anyone that you like, you have it when you need it, when you feel passionate. It's just, it's not in the right context, but it's become the norm. But as a church, as people that love God, I think we should be looking at what is God's viewpoint and how can I follow his way? Because his way is put there because he loves us. And we have to remember that. We sometimes think, oh, God is such a killjoy, doesn't want me to have sex. Man, he's not a killjoy. God is, he's put these things in place, these boundaries, because of his love for us. That is the reason, because he loves us so much.
See, boundaries are, when I was younger, we had a garden, and I planted pumpkins, and I didn't know, I mean, not a great gardener at any state, but, you know, I had the other plants in there, I had the lettuce, I had the, you know, the silver beet, the potatoes, those sorts of things. But pumpkins, they grow prolifically, and they send out big tendrils, and the leaves are really big, and they're soaking up all the sun, and you've got pumpkins popping up everywhere. And soon the pumpkins were taking over the garden. You know, there was pumpkin going everywhere. You know, at the end of it, I was not going to eat anything, only pumpkin. And I had to get in there and chop the pumpkin back and keep the pumpkin in its space. It was still going to grow, but it was going to try and take over the whole garden if I didn't keep the pumpkin under control. Do you get the illustration? It's kind of like that. That there's so much in our life. We are multi-relational. We are intimate on multiple levels. And if we only have just one form of intimacy dominating, then it ends up choking out our well-being. And the byproduct, at the end of the day, we say, well, I started with a garden. I had this great ideal. It was going to be wonderful, but really it's just a giant pumpkin patch. And there was a woman in the Bible that kind of was at that place. She had a giant pumpkin patch. Life was a mess. Her name was Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. You read about her in the Old Testament. Rahab was living in Jericho, and a moment came when she could do something extraordinary. She's mentioned multiple times through the Bible. And there's a reason for it. She took a step of faith. She wanted to approach closer to the God of Israel. She wasn't even an Israelite. And so her actions caused her to draw closer to God. She was stepping out of her comfort zone. She was drawing closer to God. The result was that she got not only her relationship with God, but her life was dramatically and radically changed. She ended up getting married, and one of her descendants became a phenomenal king in Israel, King David. All because Rahab turned this burning passion that she was using for income, that she was using as her lifestyle. Her life was a pumpkin patch that was completely consumed with that. And yet she realized that she had to have boundaries. What did she do when she was trying to find, to join the tension between the ideal, her garden would have been ideal had she had married and was in a relationship with perhaps a husband, and what she was living, what did she do? She approached God. She started to turn the passion into passion for God. Are you hearing me, young man and young woman? Turn the passion that you have into a passion for God. That's what Paul did. That's what C.S. Lewis did. It's possible to be successful single by turning the passion that's within into a passion for God. Rahab did it, and not only was her life dramatically and radically changed, but her whole, the whole, all of history was changed because of that.
Just on that note, you know, like, we're all at different places in our journey, and you know, if you're here today and you feel like, man, well, life's stuffed up, you know, I am not been doing it according to God's view. Every day with God is a new day. His mercies are new every morning. And what I love about Rahab is that she was living a life that only she, that was the only life she knew. She lived a life of prostitution. She was with multiple men every day. But when she began to see the miracles of the people of Israel and what God was doing, her heart turned towards God. And when she made that step of faith, her life went from that to a whole new life, living God's way. And she's actually noted in the New Testament as a great woman of faith. And God doesn't care about, you know, our background. He doesn't, you know, when I say don't care, doesn't care. He looks at where our heart is today. He looks at it where our heart is in this moment. And right now, you know, if you're struggling with something, you can bring your heart to God in this moment. And because he's such a God of grace and a God of love, he just receives you. And he says, let's start here. Does it mean that it's going to be easier? Does it mean that, oh, I might fall? Maybe. But when we keep on making decision, you know, every moment, every day, God, I'm going to ask you for your grace to help me. When the passion is consuming or when you're caught out in a moment, you know, you can come before God. And he is, his arms are ever open wide. It's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to give his life for us. And I love the story of Rahab. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Because we all have a history. None of us are perfect.
I think that Rahab is an example of somebody accessing grace through faith. Accessing grace through faith. You know how in Corinthians chapter 13, Paul says, he talks all about love. And then he finishes off and he says, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. You know, in the world today, love means so many things. And as I've already said, it's like we have this erotic love, eros love, becoming the keynote in the love equation. But love is broader than that. Love is more, it's deeper than that. It's more intimate than that on more levels. And Paul is saying, yeah, love is really important. But he's also saying hope is really important and faith is really important. And if you put it into the picture of relationships and you think, wow, this friendship I have with this person at this level is becoming more intimate. Set a good foundation, a friendship foundation, but realize that as you're getting into a deeper relationship, be thinking to yourself, I want this to be intimate. And that means far more than just sexual. Is sex good? Yes, it is. Sex is good. But is that the end game? No, it's not. It's just the sprinkling. It's the hundreds and thousands. And some of us are just crunching on those and there's nothing else in it. Jack, you've got a question. What is it?
Well, I find I've been married for 52 years. So
married for 52 years. Good, Jack.
The compromise is a very important in everyone's life.
It's excellent.
Thank you, Jack.
So in the series, we're going to touch on some things. We're going to touch on communication, and we'll visit some of what Jack is alluding to. So what he's talking about in his marriage that he's realized that compromise. But you know what that is? Love is understanding. You know, Karen and I don't agree on everything, and the awkward things that happen, the difficult things. You know, that last night I'm in bed, and she said, there is a wardrobe. And I'm looking over and all my clothes are in a pile and I go, I'm wearing them in the morning. And we're having this conversation. It's hilarious. And the thing is, you know, we're different. And there is compromise, but there are the key things that we are so much on the same page with. We're so much on the same page with our walk with God. We're so much on the same page with our commitment to our family. We're so much on the same page to our commitment to church. We're on the same page with our ethics as far as work, as far as honesty are concerned. Do you see how these things are important? If these things were being compromised, it would be a dessert that was really horrible, and no amount of chocolate sprinkles on the top would make it better. And so we can talk some more about that. But I think today, what we really, really wanted to visit is that, the Bible says that we have this passion, this sexual drive, and that if we can't, if that drive is not being contained, if we're not, Paul said it this way, some people are not gifted like I am. Paul was single. He was celibate. He stayed single. But he said it's a gift. And some people aren't gifted this way. If you're not gifted that way, well, then you should be married. And he was actually saying, look, that's appropriate. It's correct. It's good. You should do that. Sex is good. But what he's saying, it's good inside the compound or inside the contained inside marriage. And I think that it would be the message now for us today. Regardless of what we've done, regardless of who we've been, regardless of who we are, we can still hope for the ideal. We can still believe for love. And we can access grace through faith. Faith, hope, and love. We can still push through into that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I think it would be just awesome to have a team up again to bring a worship song because, our relationships are focused on God. And if you don't really know God, or if you've strayed from Him, or you feel that your intimacy with God is just it's waning, we'd love to pray for you.
Amen.
Really love to pray for you and minister to you. Now, I know that Josh had communicated to the team that those who really want to give their hearts to the Lord today would come up to one side, which I cannot remember, because, we've been married for so long, and sometimes that some things just go over my head. But I just love you to come forward. If you're just that intimacy with God, and that means that you may not even know Jesus Christ, you may not even know the Holy Spirit, but you want to pursue this intimacy with God, and intimacy in relationship. We would love to pray for you because this series is going to go on and we're on a journey together in this series. And I know there's a lot more to come and it's very exciting and we just know that God is in this. So please come, but bring friends. It's not just for us. It's for others to hear the way that God sees it. He's got the best way. Amen.
So as we just worship, if you want to come forward and we'll just pray for you, if you want to reconnect and have reignite, approach grace in faith in your relationship with God. But listen, if you just want to come forward because you would really like to be prayed for, in the arena of your relationships, whatever that might mean, the complexity of what's involved in that, well then we'd encourage you to come forward too. And let's agree in prayer. Let's believe that God can cause a miracle. And so you might say, well, my marriage or my relationship or lack of one is not perfect. Don't worry. It's not a photograph. It's a painting. But let's believe God for something good to happen, a miracle to take place. I don't know. It might even be your Rahab moment. It might be your moment when you realize, wow, I've made some crazy decisions, but now I can press into God in faith and see the miracle take place. It does not need to be that my past dictates my future. It can be a new day today. Amen? Come on, let's stand to our feet and sing, and we'll just worship God right now as we come to a close.